Lazarus, and Martha, and Mary. Now, from the Bible account, none of them ever married. They seem to have lived here and lived together. They were good personal friends of our Lord, and they opened their home to him every opportunity they had. And on this one occasion, here's what the Bible tells us about a certain occurrence that went on in Martha and Mary and Lazarus' home. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's the account. You get the idea here that Martha is the prominent figure in that home. She's the one that the Bible said actually welcomed the Lord into the home. She seems to be the leader, if you will. And these were personal friends of our Lord. Having no place of his own, you remember the Lord didn't have his own dwelling place. In fact, he made sure his disciples knew that before they signed on. He told them the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's not what you normally think you would say to a group of men you're trying to enlist to come and work with you, right? That's not what you would expect to find in a pre-employment packet, you know, to tell your disciples, if you come with me, you won't have any permanent dwelling place, and you won't have any fixed income. In fact, you'll just live off the kindness and the mercy of others. You see, folks, he wanted them to know right up front to count the cost of what it's going to cost to serve me. How many times have you seen people make a good profession of faith? I've seen them. I've probably seen hundreds of them in the past 15 years. Folks who come into a church and maybe they have a certain zeal about something and they just start out of the gate full tilt, doing everything, wanting to do everything in the church they can do. But the very first time they hit some opposition, they quit. Or they get discouraged and they stay discouraged and you can't find them after a while. There's people, I can name people that are not here tonight that were here at one time, and they'd be the last people you'd ever imagine would stop and leave the fellowship of believers. And so when the Lord brought his disciples on, he wanted them to know right up front, I'm not going to make you any campaign promises that I can't keep. He said, I want you to know if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. And of course, those men said, we understand, we're going to go with you. And they did. Here's a good thing about it, though. When you serve the Lord, the retirement package is out of this world, quite literally. Remember what the Lord said? He said, if you follow me and give up houses and lands in this life, you'll have 100-fold houses, lands to come. So you can't beat it, but the benefits package doesn't always apply here. So Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they provided a home. I don't know how many nights our Lord stayed in their home. I do believe every time he was around Bethany, which was their hometown, he came. Wouldn't that be something? Let's see, who here lives in West Salem? Let's say Mary Ann. Let's say Mary Ann. Well, sure, some of you folks live in West Salem in the county seat. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were in Bible days and every time Jesus came through West Salem, he didn't even have to think about it. He just knew, I can go with Mary Ann Cogar's house. She'll let me stay with her. Wouldn't that be a wonderful compliment? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not to even have to question it. But the Lord just knows, I've got a place to sleep and I go to West Salem. I know that the Cogars will have me in. That's how it was with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. The Lord enjoyed being with them. He loved them. In fact, if you read on the next two chapters, when Lazarus was sick unto death, the Bible says plainly, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, he loves all of his disciples, but he did have a close fellowship of those three. And you know why he had a close fellowship of those three? Because they wanted it that way. And if you have close fellowship with Jesus Christ tonight, you know why that is? It's not because of your bank statement, and it's not because of your IQ. If you've got a close fellowship, I mean daily walking with the Lord, it's because you want to have it. He certainly does. He wants to have that fellowship with all of his children. You see, the Lord doesn't love some of his children more than he loves others. But the truth is, some of his children do love him more than others of his children. And the responsibility is up to us. How much fellowship do you enjoy with the Lord? And the answer is, as much as you want. So back here in Luke chapter 10, you find these three people, two sisters and a brother. Martha seems to be the leader, and she's a worker. There's things about Martha I want you to get a hold of. First of all, her name means leader. If you know somebody named Martha, then they may not realize that, but their name means a leader. Martha is a leader. It can also mean lordly. To be lordly is to be a leader. There's a Bible word that has her name as a basis. You remember when Paul used the word Maranatha. How many of you have heard the word Maranatha? Maranatha simply means the Lord comes. So lordly. Martha's name means leader or lordly. You see Martha's name 13 times in 12 verses here in the Gospel of Luke. She's not mentioned after the four Gospels. She's only mentioned in relationship to our Lord before he went to Calvary. That's important. And as I said, she lives with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. Nothing said about their parents. We can only assume they had already passed away by this time. We're not sure of that, but we do know that they hosted the Lord, and whenever they hosted the Lord, they also had more mouths to feed than just his. They had his disciples there, and it must have been quite a thing to prepare food and lodging for 13 grown men. How many did you say used to cook for? You know, 13 men, 3 meals a day. Now you can see Martha had her hands full. She certainly did here. And that's what it was. We see her here in one of these things where she fed them. Have you noticed how many times in Scripture you read about somebody eating? Isn't that something? You know what got you into this mess to begin with? Somebody eating something they shouldn't have eaten, right? So you got to be careful about what you eat. I'll just leave it at that and move on. Now, as we read on through here, you find that Lazarus, in this particular passage here, is not mentioned. The Lord wants us to learn the lesson here concerning these two sisters. Something else, if you'll notice in verse 41, Martha has another distinction about her that no other woman has in the Bible. Martha is the only woman that has her name called out twice. Now, the Lord does this with a couple other men. On one occasion, he said in Acts 9, verse 4, he said, "Saul, Saul," Jesus said that to the Apostle Paul. Of course, before his conversion, his name was Saul. And then if you're thinking ahead, you know that there's another man the Lord called out to twice. He said it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, "Simon, Simon," speaking to Peter. But Martha, as far as we can find in Scripture, is the only woman that the Lord repeated their name twice. Anybody ever had your mother or father repeat your name twice? They wanted to get your attention, right? They wanted you to listen. And when the Lord said this to Martha, the Lord always said just what needed to be said. Have you noticed that? The Lord didn't omit anything, but he didn't add anything that shouldn't be there. He said just what was needed, just when it was needed. And so he said, "Martha, Martha," he wants her to get the message. "Listen to me," is what he's telling her. And notice his gentle rebuke in verse 41. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Thou art careful." Now, we tell people, we say, be careful. We know what we mean by that. We mean take care and be smart about it. If you've ever, I'm sure your parents have told you, as mine has, every time you part ways, be careful. If you're going to the stores, be careful as you go. But in the Bible sense, this word means they're full of care, full of worry, anxiety. Anybody here ever been full of care? Any worriers in the house tonight? Now be careful when you got this many folks out. Everywhere you look, you think he's preaching right to me. So I'm going to start looking in this empty section right here. Martha was a good woman. Listen to me. And she loved the Lord. And she enjoyed serving the Lord. But she was anxious about so many things. She worried about all kinds of things. Are the biscuits going to burn? Do I have enough water? Are the sheets clean for the bed? All these men, I'm going to have to find a place for them to sleep. Worrying. And then in the midst of all of her activity, she thinks, where's Mary? She ought to be here helping me in the kitchen. She comes out of the kitchen. I can see Martha probably got flour in her hair, you know, and bacon grease all over. No, she was a Jew. She wouldn't have any bacon grease on her. But she comes out, and guess where Mary is? Mary's not disheveled. Mary's face isn't red standing over a hot stove. Mary's over there just sitting, listening to Jesus teach. And that didn't sit well with Martha, folks. We know it bothered Martha because of what she said to the Lord. And if you have a sibling, this sounds very familiar to you. If you have a brother or sister, notice how Martha reacted to what Mary was doing. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about. That word cumbered means she was weighted down. If you're cumbered about with something, that means you're weighted down. You got a lot of things pulling on you in every different direction. Cumbered about. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She didn't come to Mary and say, help me. She went to the Lord and she said, you make her help me. Now, if you've ever had any sisters and brothers, you know how that works. You know if you have a grievance against your brother or sister, you don't have the authority to order them around, although you'd like to. So what do? You go to mom and dad and you say, you tell them to do this or that. That's what Martha did. She went to the Lord and she said, don't you care that Mary's not helping me? Maybe Martha thought the Lord would instantly issue Mary some rebuke and say, Mary, you should be helping your sister here. Don't you realize who she's cooking for? I have to eat. Help her. But that's not what he said. In fact, he said to her in verse 42, one thing is needful. And folks, the one thing that was needful is not to get the food on the table. I mean that physical food she was preparing. That was important. But it wasn't the most important thing happening in that house. Everybody see that?
Yes.
The Lord said, Martha, it's important that you clean, you do the dishes, and all these things have to be done. That's important. You ought to do them, but it's not the most important thing. Jesus said the most important thing is that one thing, verse 42, that's needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus said, most important thing happening in this house, Martha, is listening to me and spending time with me. And what the Lord was saying is, Martha, in comparison to all you're doing, Martha, you're doing things that are going to have to be done again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. There'll always be dishes to wash. There'll always be meals to prepare. There'll always be beds to make. But I'm not always going to be here. In my flesh, in my body. I'm not always going to be here to teach you. And Mary, as he says to Martha, Mary gets it. Mary understands what's more important. And striking to me, after verse 42, you read that Martha never makes a reply. I think she gets it. I think Martha realized he's right. I don't know, but maybe days after that, and weeks and months, even years, I don't know how long Martha and Mary lived after the Lord went back to heaven, but I wonder if Martha ever regretted the hours she missed listening to Jesus because she was so busy doing everything else. And you know, in the ministry and in the Christian life, really, you can sort of miss a lot by doing things that are necessary to do, but they're not the most important things. Now, the Lord had to teach me that here. I want to say this to you folks, and this may sound like a sermon I ought to preach on Sunday morning when the house is fuller, but really, I think this is a perfect time because a lot of the workers are here right tonight. There's always going to be vacation Bible. I mean, if the Lord leaves us here now, there's always going to be Bible schools. There's always going to be fellowships to plan. There's always going to be things to do and places to go and golden oldies to meet and things to do and gas to be put in the buses and the yard. All that's necessary. I'm not saying that any of it should be scrapped. But I'm saying all that's secondary to the time that we as individuals ought to spend in the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean daily, in our own lives. And I found it's possible to get so tied down with the administration of things, the paperwork of all of it, and keeping the city hats happy with all the non-tax exempt forms and all that stuff, and all the stuff that you have to take care of in the church. But if you do that, and if you give your time to all that and you neglect sitting at the feet of Jesus, you'll learn very quickly that you're easily frustrated. You know what happens after a while? After a while, you do what Martha did and you begin to vent your frustration by judging the service of other people. Martha looked at Mary sitting there and she said, "She's not doing anything to serve the Lord. I'm the only one doing anything around here." Truthfully, Mary was the one who was really serving the Lord by listening to him, by valuing his words more than anything else. And do you know how you can know if you're getting, and there's all kinds of words for it, the words burnout. You hear that a lot, talking about ministry. The preacher just got burnt out, or somebody got burnt out in the church, and whatever, or stressed, or whatever. You know how you can tell that's coming? When you take your eyes off of your own heart's attitude to Christ and you spend more time inspecting everybody else's service to Christ. And then you start comparing what you're doing with what they're doing. Or, said this way, you compare what you're doing with what they're not doing, as it seems to you. You see, folks, what I'm saying? You got to watch it when you start looking around and you start saying, "I'm more faithful than they are." Or, "I'm the one doing all the work around here. They never do sign up to help. They never do anything. I'm the one doing it all. Why don't these people get with it?" Well, a lot of them need to get with it. We got a lot of folks just plain lazy. But I have learned that if my heart is right with the Lord and I'm spending time with him as I should in fellowship, I don't have to be everybody else's spiritual police. I don't have to go around with my clipboard and asking everybody, "How many hours have you spent this week knocking on somebody's door? Or how many tracts have you given out?" Or this and that. All that's needful. Have you folks learned that if you just take care of your own Christian life, you got your hands full? Isn't it enough? And when I learned that, I realized, yes, I do all I can do to make sure the members here do what they're supposed to do, but my greatest work as the pastor here is not to sit all day and sign certificates. It's to take care of my own heart with the Lord Jesus Christ and find rest in him. You know you can rest while still serving the Lord? I didn't know that. You can be serving, in other words, be active in the Lord's work and yet be resting at the same time if your heart's right in what you're doing. Here's how that works. If you're serving just to get something done, or you're serving because nobody else is going to do it, well, the work goes on like that, you know. That kind of thing gets weary after a while. But if you serve the Lord doing it for him alone, yes, it's still work. Still takes effort. But there's a rest that comes because now you know I'm not primarily serving for him or for her to keep this group happier, to get that fellowship going. I'm doing what I do as unto the Lord and not as unto men. And when I really got a hold of that, it just changed so much about my Christian service. Have I got it all figured out? No. I've still got quite a bit to learn. A good friend some months ago came in my office and gave me pretty hard sayings for my benefit. And what he said was very close to what I'm talking about here. He said, "You seem like you're worried about so many of the details that I wonder if the more important things aren't being overlooked." And it's true, keeping everybody happy and making sure you're everywhere that everybody thinks you ought to be all the time. That gets weary, folks, if you don't spend time first with the Lord. And so he helped me on this. Now, as we conclude here, I think this has been more of a testimony than it has been a lesson. But look at Mary. Verse 42. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. For as long as Mary lived, and I don't know how long she lived after that. For as long as Mary lived, she never forgot what she heard the Lord teach. I'm sure his words sustained her every day. If you read sometime the account of Lazarus' death, you'll find that in the midst of all that sadness and sorrow, you'll find that it was Mary who seemed to stay calm during that thing. Isn't that sort of strange? You find Mary sort of had a peace during that time. She was upset as well as Martha because her brother had died, but she had sort of a peace about her, and I often wonder, where did Mary get such peace? Well, she didn't get it by rolling out biscuits. And she didn't get it by mopping floors. Those things are necessary. They have to be done. But you know where Mary got the peace that passes understanding when it really counted, when she needed that peace? You know where she got it? She got it from sitting and taking in what the Lord had to say. Amen. Now, the Lord knew that day was coming. The Lord knew there was a day that Lazarus would die and Martha and Mary would be sorrowful. And that happened. And he knew that what he was saying to Mary right at that moment would come back to help her later. And he knew that somebody else was missing what he had to say, and that was Martha. And so he orchestrated all that. And that's in John 11, if you want to read that sometime. Here's what I was telling you about. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha, her brother died, Jesus is coming. She takes off out the door running. That's just like her, isn't it? But where's Mary? She's still sitting. That's all the woman ever does, it seems like. Said she sat still in the house. No, that wasn't it. She wasn't lazy. She just knew that she wasn't going to get her peace by running around, worried, anxious. She knew she'd get her peace as she did what we have on the wall back there, but few people ever stick their head in to read it. Be still and know that I'm God. And you know that verse, you can't cut that off. You don't really don't know he is God until you are still. Until you let everything else fade into the background. All the activity sort of dies down. Amen, folks?
Amen. Yeah.
So my encouragement to you is tonight, serve the Lord. Do what needs to be done. We've got to cook the meals. We've got to clean the house. All that's got to be done here. But make sure you're giving the best of yourself to the Lord. The best of your time. Don't give the best of your day and the best of your energy to everything else and then come back and give God what's left over. Give God the best. Give him what he instituted in the Old Testament as the first fruits. Not the gleanings. Not what was left over in the field after everything had already been picked over. Give him the best. And then if you have to let things go, listen to me, if you have to let things go, if there's not enough hour in your day to do everything on your list, if you've got to let something go in order to spend time with Jesus Christ, let that go. Let it go. And I found this to be true. If those things on our list are things that we ought to do and are legitimate things, God will make sure that you have the time and the ability and strength to do it. But if there's so many unnecessary things built into your schedule that's pushing Jesus Christ out of the picture, I'm afraid God didn't give you those responsibilities. God never would give a man or a woman so much to do that would take them away from spending time with him. And if you're too busy to pray, if you're too busy to read your Bible, I love you, but you know what? You're too busy. And what you're doing is not going to help you in eternity. I'm not advocating that we all go home and crawl into bed and stay there for 10 hours a day saying we're engaged in silent prayer. I'm saying do what needs to be done, but give the Lord the best you've got. And then there'll still be work to do, but it'll be a joyful thing. And you won't have time to worry about what everybody else is doing and what they're not doing. You get to spend time with the Lord, and you'll find that you're the one who is more blessed in the end. And time spent with Jesus Christ, folks, is never wasted time. A lot of other things I think we do sometimes are wasted, but never time spent with Him.